This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
It is. Look at the time. It's 9:05. He has pulled up a chair and is sitting across from me here in the studio, Walter Assey from Renovco. Full disclosure, confession, I drove right by the office yesterday and I didn't pop in. I was debating popping in.
But my God.
Were you there Thursday morning at around 11?
I thought I saw you. I had a feeling. I know this guy.
But I was trying to get home, and so I changed my mind. I said, should I pop in? Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's not there. Anyways.
I always make time for you, Ken. You know that.
I know. Now I feel badly. So make a mental note here.
Next time.
Gift basket, Walter. Let's see.
Yes, okay. Big one, please.
Walter, I know that you came in with some good news about the Legion in Roxborough that, of course, suffered a fire, a lot of damage, and when they were looking for help, you jumped in at Renovco. And you tell me that they reopened yesterday?
Yes. I mean, if you remember, it was a bit of a sad story. They were not adequately insured. And in the fire, they lost a lot of the irreplaceable treasures, they call it, from, you know, World War One, World War Two memorabilia and what have you. Mm. So it was like a compounded bad news thing. A lot of the members were disappointed because that was their congregation place. And I mean, like, now that I met a lot of these guys, I can't even begin to tell you how impressive they are to talk to them, listen to their stories. Even just their ways of doing things. I mean, most of these guys are older, and they have done fantastic work in helping out the reopening process and how difficult it was and what have you. So yesterday we were invited to their soft opening, mm-hmm. which was awesome. It was to thank everybody that helped and assisted in the reopening. And the great news is it's much nicer, much more beautiful, much more open.
What are some of the apparent changes if you walked in?
Well, we made everything open concept. Before, it was like a lot of small areas. The bathrooms were too small, and there was not even a handicapped bathroom, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And all of that got changed. We built up a ramp for wheelchairs. We used actually the landscape to build up the ramp, so it doesn't look ugly or anything like that. It looks beautiful. It was awesome. The MPs were there. The mayor was there. We got to meet them all, and they were all happy for the Legion. The members were thrilled. Ecstatic, yeah. Thrilled, great mood.
Nice.
It was a great little gathering, actually, I have to say. They are going to do one real opening, if you wish, in a few weeks or in a couple of months.
Okay.
And they're going to be, you know, the press is going to come and everything else. But very important. It's something I really want to say. You know, we all have favorite charities, mm-hmm. right? Mine, prior to that occurrence, full disclosure, was the Shriner Hospital for children. Because I always, this is a cause that was very close to my heart for years. But then you realize when you kind of work with something else that is maybe different than what you're used to, that maybe you're missing out on something. And I feel, and talking to these guys, it's those legions are maybe often forgotten by the corporate world. You know, we all have donations we give to help in the community and to be responsible corporations and what have you. And even on a personal level, we very seldom think of the war veterans beside the, you know, November, remember, say, buying a poppy here and there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like sometimes just it's a question of buying a membership. Just buying a membership for the year. It's not expensive, $50, but it helps them a lot. And, you know, you get to meet a lot of very interesting people that went through a lot in their life. And just to discuss with them makes you feel good.
You bring up a good point about, you know, a lot of times legions and these type of facilities are overlooked because it's such a competitive fundraising market here in this province. Like everyone, mm-hmm. you know, is looking for some sort of donation or contribution. So it can be very competitive and a lot of them can be overlooked.
You're right. And sometimes we get a bit complacent. Like we choose one, you know, charity that we like and that's fine. That's great. You know, but, you know, it's always good to keep an open mind. Had I not had this incident and I was kind of catapulted into this issue and mm-hmm. I felt, when I met these guys, immediately felt the need that, you know, something should be done. maybe I would have been one of these guys. But now that I've, it was an eye-opener experience for me, and you know, and I just, it taught me a lesson. But I just want to kind of push this through, that if anybody does not have, you know, a good, you know, a charity or charity that they don't know about or they would like to donate, maybe that will be a great place to start. Mm-hmm. It's one of the venues that they can look at.
My father was a World War II vet, and my mother, even years after my father passed, would always go just for the comfort and the companionship of the Legion in Ville-Saint-Laurent. It was at the corner of Marcel Lorrain and Henri Bourassa for many years, and she would love going there once a week.
You're right. And then, you know, I was hearing the mayor and the MP saying yesterday that they can't remember a time where this Legion did not have some type of an event for the community that brought things, the community together, or all the memories that were created in these legions. So a lot happens that we kind of maybe don't take as seriously or don't understand. Yesterday, as an example, they rang the bell for three fallen veterans that passed from the time of the fire.
Oh, is that right?
Since the opening. And typically it's a tradition. So every time a veteran passes, they ring the bell 11 times.
Mm.
So, you know, all of these little things, you know, we say, lest we forget and lest we have to remember and what have you. It's great, but it's these legions that keep that memory alive, really.
And you can't overstate the importance of these facilities for a variety of reasons, including the fact that a lot of these people at that age, they're lonely. And this is a great place to go and to be in the company of people.
You know... It's weird to say that, but the people that impress me the most these days are people are older. Mm. They're 70s and 80s and 90s. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or why, but so what I'm trying to say is, you know, you get to a certain point in your life where you really want to exchange and maybe have... And meeting these people, I don't think these people should be not... in public, because there's a lot that they can show us and tell us and maybe kind of bring us back to the basics, hard work, determination, what they went through. I mean, you know, we have it good now.
Mm.
They didn't have it good in the 30s and the 40s and, you know, and the 50s. It was a different era.
Different time.
Different time, indeed.
Walter, in on the text line, it says here at 514-800, thanks, Walter, third generation member of the Legion. A thank you from Graham this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
514.
Thank him for his service as well.
I will. 514-790-0800. It's hot in here, so I have the door open a little bit. So, Lisa, keep it down out there because the door is open. Lisa will be in here, of course, at 10 o'clock for the car show. 514-790-0800. I wanted to mention this to you quickly. If you have a question for Walter, call now and grab a line. Again, 514-790-0800. Any kind of a home improvement project or a little guidance you may need. I mentioned this earlier this morning that what seems to be increasingly popular and popping up more and more because of all the time people spent during the pandemic at home and fixing up the house and fixing up the backyards, more and more people in North America are building backyard bars.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have you seen that or heard
of it? Yeah, backyard bars and kitchens.
Wow.
It's fancy. And they're not cheap.
No.
The surprising thing is they're not cheap. They cost as much almost as a bar, as a kitchen.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Indoor kitchen.
Based on some of the photos I saw, yeah. Pretty fancy.
But I mean, that's happening in Montreal.
Right? Yeah.
With our weather, so like, 7-8 months a year, 9 months a year, you can't use it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But right. Yeah, so you know, in a lot of ways, we are kind of taking our outdoor spaces a lot more seriously, and thanks to the pandemic, we understand, you know, the importance of enjoying your home, you know, and you know, honestly, if you have kids. A pool is a great idea because sometimes you're not sure about, is it a good investment, bad investment for a home. In today's world, it is a great idea, specifically because what the pandemic showed us as a lesson. But the thing is, in the summer, you know, before I had a pool, for example, you'd always wonder, where am I going to take the kids? What are we going to do with the kids? And every time you go out with the kids, you know, the whole family, there's a certain budget that you have to set aside for that, and it's not cheap. Mm-hmm. So if you calculate all your outings in the summer versus you enjoying the backyard and the pool and everything else, there's an argument there to be had. You know?
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
922, good morning, 514-790-0800. I'm Ken, that's Walter from Renovco, and this is Nancy on the South Shore in Brossard. Hi, Nancy.
Yes, good morning, Ken and Walter. Thank you for taking my call.
All right.
I had pyrite in my garage, and I had the work done about a month and a half ago where they removed everything. Mm-hmm. They put a new cement slab, and they told me that after like 28 days I can use a sealant to seal it, but I haven't done it yet because it's hard for me to try and find out what's the best kind of sealant to use. I don't want to do epoxy. I just want it to be very simple. And I also noticed I have two small cracks that have formed in the cement since then. And I was told by the company that it's not a problem. Their hairline, it's normal that it happens. So I wanted to know, too, is that true?
Okay. Now, let me just go back, because you said pyrite. And Brossard, unfortunately, in those years, was renowned to have a lot of pyrite in the garages and the foundations and the basements.
Right.
They pulled out the cement slab. What did they do with the gravel?
They took it all out.
Okay.
They literally went, I think it was probably 8 to 10 feet. They removed everything, and then they they put new gravel in, and then they did the cement slab on top.
Okay. Are you sure 8 to 10 feet? Because usually it's not, that doesn't go that deep.
So maybe my perception.
And 8 to 10 feet is below your footing, so that worries me when you tell me that.
Okay, maybe my perception is wrong, but yeah. Put it this way, it was definitely over my head, so it's got to be at least 7 feet. Not that I'm 7 feet, but I think it was definitely at least 7 feet.
Okay, so they removed the gravel, and that's why what we wanted to get into is because the real problem is not the cement. The real problem was the gravel, right? The gravel
right.
is the thing that had the pyrite and was off-gassing and create that instability. Before you did it, you obviously did the pyrite test, right?
Right. When I done a pyrite test a few years ago, it said I didn't have that much pyrite.
Mm.
And but when my cement went in my garage, my floor started to lift a bit, and I had big cracks.
Okay.
And it seems like I also had like 4 major cracks in my foundation around the garage.
Yeah. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because that's often overlooked. The pyrite test is extremely important. Reason being, it tells you if you have pyrite, that's great, but it also tells you how much off-gassing is going on. Because sometimes it's just did its job, and it's not going to get any worse. So the percentages that we look at, the numbers that we look at, are extremely important. Meaning, in certain cases, yes, you would have the lifting of the slab and the cracks and what have you, but you might not need to go to that extent of taking out all the gravel out and paying all this extra cost if the, again, if the numbers tell you that. So the interpretation of the test is extremely important, okay? And that is something that's usually done or should be communicated or clarified with the company that did the test and not necessarily your contractor.
Okay.
You could kind of cross-check that information with your contractor, okay?
Okay.
So I'm just saying this as a general knowledge
right.
Thing. It's not important at this point. It's done. But in general,
yeah.
generally, that's important for everyone else that could potentially have that problem.
Exactly.
Having said that.
Yes.
Now, when they did the slab, how often did you water your slab?
Not at all.
Okay. So that probably is one of the common mistakes that are done. When the slab is poured, it's important that we do it on we water it on daily basis for at least 2 weeks. At least 2 weeks. And it's to avoid those cracks from appearing, really. Because what happens is if the water from the cement evaporates too fast, it shrinks, and then you have these minor cracks that will appear. If you got away with 2 minor hairline cracks, you're lucky.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because sometimes we've seen cases not that lucky, as many of them, and they're not hairline. So given the fact that you did not water it, it is normal that you have the hairline appears. Okay. Now, the other thing is, depending on the size of the garage, is that a single garage or a double?
Single garage.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So had it been double, then we'd have had to do the cuts, the blade cuts in the cement in order to kind of separate the slabs from the expansion and the contraction and to avoid, to help in the crack issues that we were just talking about. But in your case, it does not apply. So the hairline...
Right, but they never told me, they never told me to water, so because otherwise I would have watered, you know?
And that's... You're right. We hear that often because we get called after the fact in a lot of cases and people explain to us the situation and we tell them, okay, did you do this? Well, nobody told me.
Yeah, I guess ignorance doesn't count here, but yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not a question of doesn't count. You hire a professional
right. In
the aspiration that these guys are going to do the job and consult you properly. Now, the main issue that we have was a lot of tradespeople is that they have their blinders on. You pay them for a job, they do their job.
Right.
Not more and not less, okay? Where it's better for you to make, you know, these decisions of if you wish, choosing between one contractor or another is the one that takes the time to really explain. And to communicate and to give information and to kind of really ask you if you have any questions and what have you. That's very important, Nancy.
Okay.
You know, once you see someone is being dismissive, once you see someone is not giving as much information, even if they have the better price, okay, sometimes they have a better price for a reason. Now, what's mm-hmm. that reason? Okay. The thickness of the slab is one. Okay. What are they putting in the slab? Are they putting fiberglass? Is it just normal? Are they putting the treille métallique? There's a million questions to ask. Okay. And any question you ask can impact the bottom line and the price.
Okay.
One of the main issues that we have, with these things is we don't ask often enough, what am I getting for my money?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And once you know that, then the difference between A and B starts to make a lot more sense.
Right.
Okay. So the hairline cracks are normal. Not, I wouldn't say they're the mistake of the installer.
Okay.
Because you didn't water the slab. But it is his mistake because he should have told you to water the slab.
Right.
For the time that you need, you know.
Yeah. Nancy, we're up against the clock. News is there. But was Walter some help for you?
Yes, I just needed to know if you could recommend a very plain sealant that I can put on the floor. That was my question.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, really, it's not really a problem for you. Could a Flex Seal is one. There's many that you could use. There's not really one brand.
Okay.
What's important is to wait the time that you need to wait before you apply.
They told me 28 days from the time.
How long has it been?
It's been a month and a half, almost 2 months.
Okay, so I mean, 28 days is a time for the cement to cure, which is the right answer. So now you're good to do whatever you need to do with the slab.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Walter. I really appreciate your help.
Nancy, My pleasure. Have a good day.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye now. Going to Karen in Longueuil when we come back here on the Home Improvement Show.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show. On CJAD 800.
And you know what else? You might need a little free advice, and we've got the guy just for that. He's here for the entire hour. Walter Assey from Renovco. Karen's going to take him up on the offer. Longueuil is where we find you. Hi, Karen.
Hey, good morning.
Morning. Let's talk about your patio.
So I have a new construction. Mm-hmm. It is treated wood. It was installed about 3 weeks ago. And I know you discussed this last week, but I only caught the tail end of it about... Staining, it can be done in the same year, as I understand it now?
Yes.
Okay.
So the technology changed, the application changed. Prior to that, in the older times, we would have to wait a full year cycle for the gassing to settle. before we start and to make sure that the wood has dried up and what have you. Now, having said that, there's a way to know if your treated wood is ready to be stained or not. And that is when you drive a screw through it, you see if the screw comes out wet or humid, or you see any condensation that kind of pops out. Now, if that is what happens, then you might need to wait a few more weeks before you do it. Usually, the new guidelines are, again, depending on the manufacturer, we have to be careful with that, because different manufacturers still sometimes use different products that may require a longer time period. But the vast majority guidelines is between a week to 90 days from the time you install the treated wood. Okay? Now, having said that, the time of application is important, right? So if it's a very hot day and you're starting at noon, you're not really doing yourself any favor starting the job at that particular time because of evaporation. So things do not apply as nicely. And if the wood is too hot, the way the product is absorbed is also can also get affected, and you will have a very blotchy, not a great job. So there's a bit of calculations to be done when you do it, how you do it, what time of the day you do it. Usually very early mornings are the best. Avoid hot days. You know, so those the days where you have 21, 20 degrees, nice. Even if it's cloudy, that's fine. No rain for at least 24 hours, because again, even if you say, oh, but the paint will dry, you might end up seeing a bit of droplets form on the wood itself. Okay. Importantly, very important as well, is the wood preparation. How you prepare the wood before you apply the stain. Now, also, what kind of product you apply? Because now it's a la mode that we put opaque colors. Mm. Okay, so you paint it instead of staining it in certain cases. Be ready for a lot of work if that's the way you're going to go, especially on the surfaces that are not vertical. So railings, you can get away with it because you don't have much traffic, you don't have much snow accumulation. But if you are opting for that, every couple of years you might need to sand things down, scrape the loose paint, because the paint peels and then you have all these little things that start coming out, and then you would have to sand them down and restart. So it's the maintenance becomes an issue. So that's why I'm saying it's calculated risk, everything you're going to do. Now, I've seen a lot of cases where people want color, they'll do the railing in opaque colors because, you know, yes, okay, there is the risk of that peeling in a couple of years, but it's not going to be as strenuous as when you do the floors, and the surface area is not the same, and so on and so forth, and maybe, you know, only the bottom part gets affected where the snow accumulates more than the top parts. Right. Cleaning of the slab is important. Cleaning of the wood is important because you want the pores to be open. Okay? So in your case, you said the word staining, and that's good. My advice to you, Karen, is go with an oil stain.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do, was actually go with an oil stain.
Bravo. And that's a great, great thing. Now, there is a downside to oil stain. Because most oil stain will last about a year. But typically, oil stains are easier to apply, right? Yeah. And they don't peel. That's the best part, is that they don't peel. So when your deck is due, you won't see those. Like, it's not like, let's say you have people over and you don't have the time to address it yet. You don't have to deal with all that loose paint, you know, all over your deck, and you don't have to sand this following year, and that's even better. So you just clean. Better have a good product, because, you know, in the olden days, we used to be told you have to sand, you know, to open up the spore, and that's still a good thing to do. But more importantly than sanding is as well cleaning your surface, because you can't have any grime left over on top of it, and it have to be all the pollutants, all the grime have to be cleaned. Now, Bayer have a product called Bayer 73, and it's a cleaning product. Okay, so what you do is you wet your deck, Then you apply that product and you let it dwell for about 15 minutes. Okay?
Yep.
Then you get a scrub, you get a brush, and you kind of clean it with a brush. Okay? And then you hose it down and you allow your deck to dry at least 24 hours. Then your wood is ready, sanding free, especially that you have a new deck. That's the main thing. You have a new deck. Sanding free to apply the product on top.
Okay, that sounds good. Do you have any other products that you would recommend? Like
As far as staining, personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I'm telling you about the bear, mind you, I told you about the bear cleaner. I didn't tell you anything else. So, like, read between the lines. What I really, really like is Benjamin Moore. Just the coverage is, I find that the coverage of Benjamin Moore is much better, and it covers the surface much faster. So if you compare, I'm sure there are very good products out there, but when you paint a railing, for example, if you would use Benjamin Moore versus, let's say, the next guy, you would need, what you do in one coat with that product might need 2-3 coats with another product. So they still do the job, but you use a lot more labor and a lot of more time.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying is, you know, I'm talking from personal experience as well. We're very open to trying new products. I'm actually very excited when I see new products in the market. I'm the first guy that want to jump on it and try it. Because you know what? There are times where we tried newer products and we were very, very impressed.
Nice.
Interior paint, I have a bigger variety that I could pick from, that I'm happy with. But exterior, my personal preference have always taken me there. I could, you know, I haven't tried every single brand in the market, but Benjamin Moore is, right, you're playing a safe bet. Now, sorry, just one last thing.
Yep.
So you might pay a little bit more. Don't shy away from that, because you're going to end up using more product in the cheaper versions. End up costing you more.
Just one last question. The chemicals that come out in the wood, there's some blue throughout the wood. Now, if I sand that lightly, will that come off? And when I stain over it, will it show?
Typically, you're not supposed to have anything of gassing when you buy it. It's supposed to have been already treated. But if you find that there is something coming out, then by all means, do have light sanding. Do not overheat when you're sanding. So do not stay in the same place for a long time, because that's when you overheat the wood.
Right.
But definitely, if you find any, even splinter or something, the wood is not clean, you could spend the time doing the sanding just to also have it all nice and smooth. Sanding is not a bad thing. It's still a good thing. But if you want to avoid it, you can with the Bear 73.
Karen, I have one last question. Are you doing the work yourself, or are you delegating that to someone?
No, I'm going to do this myself.
Good for you.
Beautiful. So why don't you tell us how it turns out?
Yeah.
I will.
And tell us the products. You know what? Share with us which ones you use, and you know, what was your experience? That would be awesome to hear from you.
We'll take your feedback.
Okay. I'll come back to you for sure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Karen.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
9:51, Walter Assey is taking your calls. Walter from Renovco, of course. Helen out in La Prairie. Helen, good morning.
Hi.
Talk to Walter about those front cement steps and what's bothering you about them.
Well, we had them done, like sanded down about 5 years ago, and they put, I don't know what you call it, like a paint over them to seal them, except that right after the first year they started to chip, and now they've chipped a lot and they look awful. So I'm wondering, like, what options we have to fix it. And how would you, is it possible to just, like, re-cement them?
Okay, that's a great question, and we have that question all the time. The problem with re-cementing cement is that naturally cement does not have any bonding, so you can't bond new cement on old cement. That's the thing. There's no bonding agent that will bring them together. So what you need to do is to apply an adhesive of some kind, okay? A bonding adhesive. And if this step is kind of ignored or not done, then to bond cement on cement is really wasting time and energy, and it will and the deterioration of the cement will happen very, very, very fast. Okay.
Okay.
So if anybody's going to do that job for you, ask them what they're doing. And, you know, if they're telling you, oh, I'm just going to put a cement on top of cement, it's not really what you want. It will look good for a few days, few weeks, if you're lucky, a few months, but I guarantee you it will break, chip off in no time and deteriorate. Because, again, you have two layers of cement that are not gluing or adhering to each other. So that top layer is always the weakest one, and it will granulate way faster. Add the minus 40, the plus 30 on all, and everything else, and the salt and this and that. It will actually break down in no time. So what you want to do is you want to chip off all the loose paint. You want to go a bit down and kind of clean it nicely. Then you put some type of a bonding agent. Now, quick-reet adhesives are good for this application. You put it on top.
What?
Quick-reet. It's an adhesive agent that will allow the old concrete and the new concrete to glue to each other, okay? Mm-hmm. Epoxy glue is always a good, for cement, is always another good thing to use if you wish, like if you just want to use a product. But there have to be a bonding agent between the two. If you don't have that, you're always going to have fight this very losing battle, and I guarantee you that. So it is a very... you know, and with our weather, it's not forgiving. So you might suffer for a while before you solve this. It depends also how much of the cement is peeling off. That's another thing. And you know,
if we don't go with just cement, then what we'd have to, like the paint that's there that's peeling, that'll have to come off. And do they have to? Like, I see other people in the neighborhood that have actually done it themselves. And their steps are still nice.
That's fine. What you could do, I mean, there's multiple things you could do. First, you need to repair these cracks or that chipping, no matter what, because it's uneven now. So you need to use what I just told you, which is a bonding agent. Once that is done and it's nicely dry, you can apply anything and you won't have that cement cracking, which will lead the paint to peel. In a case like that, you'll have a better performing product. You could also look at epoxy resin, which is way more resistant to the elements and will last a lot longer. So if that doesn't work, if you want to go back with the same concept of the epoxy, of the bonding agent and what have you, that's fine. And then you do the epoxy paint. If that doesn't work, you might need to transition into the epoxy resin materials.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Helen. We're gonna sneak in a quick one here, and it's Sam and Brossard. I got about 3 minutes. Hi, Sam.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you for your call. My question is there any way of neutralizing? Is there any new methods of neutralizing asbestos?
Whoa. Okay. Just walk me through it. Why you want to neutralize asbestos?
No. There was water infiltration.
Okay.
Due to a fire.
Okay.
Okay. So they had to remove the asbestos.
Yeah.
So now half of the building, the insurance paid for quote unquote what I was for half of the building, and the remaining half of the building has asbestos.
Yeah.
So my question is, because when they removed the asbestos, it cost a fortune.
Yes.
Right. So now I'm just wondering today, is there any way of neutralizing the remaining asbestos without removing it?
Yeah.
Walter, I got to jump in because we won't have enough time to address the issue as thoroughly as you'd probably like to. So I'm wondering, Sam, can we put you on hold and we'll take your number down and call you and you'd be first up next week?
But I can just, I'm just going to take a few seconds to give her like a very quick answer and then we could definitely talk about it again next week, Sam.
Okay.
If asbestos is in a solid state, you don't really have to worry about it. So
that's
chances
correct.
Are the insurance company is demolishing what's been damaged by the fire and the water damage. So everything else that they're not touching, it's in a solid state. It's not hazardous to your house. they will encapsulate whatever they demolish and whatever is left as in wood. They, the product is an encapsulation product which kind of glues the fiber so it doesn't allow them to go airborne.
Right.
That you could use. You could use encapsulation, but you might not need to only because it's in a solid state right now. Okay? Unless you tell me it's been, you know, it's cracking and things are falling off and what have you. It's another story. But an encapsulation method will help you in cases where the material is not very degraded and you can just seal it in place for a while.
All right. Walter, thank you for being brief there. Sam, I hope that was some help. And stay on the phone in case you want us to follow up with you next week. It's the Home Improvement Show. Thanks for a great hour.
Always a pleasure, bud.
All right. 2 minutes ago before 10 o'clock, news is standing by. And then it's Lisa and the Car Show.